we're going to finish up Philippians today, and there's several thoughts that go on in this text. That's why I gave it such a clear, concise name: Christ-centered living, giving, and receiving. It's the idea, but there's such profound thinking in these last bit of verses. I didn't want to miss any part of it, and I didn't want to make it a small part of something else. So I want to go over it today. And indeed, what we see in here is a relationship between Paul and the church of Philippi, and it has to do with their contributions to Paul and Paul's way about thinking about life and how you live, no matter what you have or don't have. And so there's a lot in this relationship that Paul uses to teach us about our lives. And I hope that, you know, at the end of this, you'll have a clear kind of understanding about, how to give, how to receive, and how to live. So all those things are wrapped up in these 12, 13 verses here. So start with, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. At last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So here's Paul, the missionary who had been, to Philippi and served there. And I think at first they we'll see later, he talks about they took care of him. They sent contributions to him to make sure he had what he needed when he went from, new places. But he says in this conversation, he just drops a line about, I've learned to be content. That, my friends, is one of the great secrets of Christian living. And it is one of the ways that the United States of America, the American culture, it really argues against your faith. Okay? Because, television commercials, I mentioned this many, many times, television commercials, the interweb, your own eyes, your neighbors, everybody's got you thinking, okay, that's good, but I can do better, right? I've got something, but I need something more, right? And so what are we taught? More, 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 right? We're always, being told, no, what you have is okay, but you really need to bump that up. I noticed there was a car for a Fiat. Fiat's a little bitty car, right? And the commercial is, you'll find out that life is not about the size of your car, but about the size of your yacht. Okay? So in other words, that's their message, right? Like, in other words, you'll never, get to the top of the ladder, right? And that's what our culture's teaching us all the time. It's always getting us to look at what we don't have. Instead of what Paul's talking about is this idea of being happy, a happy state of mind in regard to where I am, what I do have, right? Have you ever had that battle? Have you ever had that struggle where you're trying to, how am I going to get, and then if you stop and you think about, where am I? What do I have? One of the things that in the latest economic downturn, I realized I'm pretty good at fixing things. Now, there was a time where if something broke, I'd just go out and get a new something, right? And then I realized, maybe if I took that thing apart, one time I had a vacuum. It was a shop vac, and it stopped working. I was moving around and it stopped working, right? And I decide, what am I going to do? Go get another one, right? Well, I said, I'm going to take this thing apart. And it got real, they make it hard to take them apart. And I got down, but I finally got to it. One little wire had come loose inside five housings that you had to take apart. And it was just a matter of like fixing that. And all of a sudden, okay, I didn't really need a new shop vac, right? Well, learning the secret of contentment, learning the idea of what I have, maybe, let me put it this way, what I don't have is not the problem. You got it? Say that with me. What I don't have is not the problem, okay? Because that's a, part of this is, again, we're going to see at the end of this thing, if God takes care of me, If God gives me what I need, right? If I'm complaining about what I have, I'm complaining about God, aren't I? You got to really be careful with this stuff. And again, our culture's telling you all the time, what do you need? More, more, more. But that's really not the answer, is it? Well, Paul's talking to this church about, you know, you used to help me, and I'm glad you're helping me again. He said, not that that's really here or there, because I have learned to be content with whatever I have. See, you know, like again, Paul went from Philippi, where that little arrow starts, and then he went to Thessalonica, and the people of Thessalonica gave him a hard time. And so while he was there, and he went to Berea, and, you know, he got chased around for a while. And I'm sure there were times of great need while he was doing that, and the church of Philippi had helped him all the way through, right? And in that same time, you know, when you don't have a lot, you learn to survive on what you have, you know? One time way back, I was preaching in an army tent in a little Virginia town, and I was, okay, yeah, which book is this? I got it, okay, yeah. And I was living in a 1948 bus, like it made into like an RV, you know, and I was preaching in a little sawmill town, very, 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 very poor people, right? And I had no money, zero. You take all the money in the world, you put it over there, I had what was left. I had nothing, right? And so what did I survive on? We passed out a little hat or a plate, you know, every night, and I might get $2. I might get $1.50 out of the group that I was sharing the gospel with, and there was like a 7-Eleven, but that was my meal, whatever I could take out of that, you know. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, you know, listen, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I also know what it is to have plenty. You know, I've actually been able to buy a new car, you know, one time, yeah. So I know what it is to live on cream of wheat. I know what it is to be able to buy things and to have stuff, right? I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. In your life, you're going to have times where you have, you know, less, and times where you have more. And let me tell you that either side of that can be very dangerous in your walk with God. If you have less and you start feeling sorry for yourself, you start, you know, moaning about it, you start groaning about it, and in effect, complaining about God. Remember the guys in the wilderness, right? They were wandering around. Yeah, we don't want this manna. We want, and they basically ticked God off. They made God angry because they kept complaining about what they didn't have, right? Got to be careful. When you have too little, you know, don't start raising a curse on yourself by complaining to God about it or complaining about it. Because again, if God is your Father, if you're walking with God, then you're talking about God. On the other side, if you have too much, you know, that can also be a danger, right? Because what did Jesus say? He says it's as hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven as it is for a camel to go through a needle's eye, right? And so he warns you, if you have too much, that's also a matter for prayer. Because, you know, people that have a lot, the world kind of starts to own them. It can own them. Doesn't have to, but can own them. So, you know, Paul's saying, I've learned, no matter whether I have too little or whether I have too much, I've learned the secret of contentment. The secret of contentment. What's the secret of contentment? What is it that can make you, when you have cream of wheat to eat, but you say, that's all right. You put a little milk in it, it's like steak, you know? Or you got too much and you're not getting carried away with it and you're not like, you know, I'm going to be the king of the world kind of thing, right? What's the secret to that measure of contentment in walking with God? And unfortunately, it is, you know, a verse that is messed up, mistranslated. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Sorry. If you look at, I put the literal translation down over the Greek, and you can see it from the Greek, you know. There's no word to do in that verse at all. There is nothing about doing. So literally, I am strong always. Always. What does he mean, always? Well, whether I have too much or whether I have too little, I am always strong. Got it? Whether I have too much or I have too little, I am always strong. By what? By the one who strengthens me. What is he saying? He says, when I'm hungry, when I don't have enough, it's not what I don't have, it's what I do have. It's Jesus Christ in my heart. It's Jesus Christ in my soul. It's the power of God in me. If I've got too much, I'm not walking around proud and boastful and oh, this is so great. It is still Christ who's in me. It is still Christ who gives me my identity. I'm not defined by what I drive. I'm not defined by where I live. I'm not defined by what's in the bank. I'm defined by Jesus Christ being my strength. Amen. Folks, that is the secret to contentment. That is the secret to contentment. Is Christ your strength? Is Christ your rock? Is Christ your salvation? Is Christ in you? If Christ is not in you, you are lost, you are floundering, and it doesn't matter if you have too little or too much. You're a mess. Nobody here's a mess. Amen? Amen? All right, yeah. We don't want to be a mess. No. I want to be so well put together by Jesus Christ that whether I'm low or whether I'm high, whether I've got little or whether I've got much, I am still the same person in my heart, in my soul, right? Why? Because Christ dwells here. Because Christ is my strength. Christ is my rock. It's so, so, so easy to forget that. And unfortunately, because of the mistranslation, people don't understand this text. Because what's he saying? He said, in every circumstance that I've been in all circumstances, really is what it should say, in all circumstances, because that's the context. He's talking about in the circumstance of having too much, in the circumstance of having too little, in all of that, I am strengthened by the one who strengthens me. I am made strong by the one who's in me, strengthening me. Okay? That's the message, the contentment of being in Christ, no matter what. You know, sometimes, I'm seriously, you know, if you've ever seen people win the lotto, it ruins their lives. You watch these young men, you know, these young men that are athletes and they're in high school and college and they don't have 2 cents to rub together, and all of a sudden they're millionaires and their lives are shipwrecked. And it just shows you that whatever you have in you, okay, whatever you have in you, it's there without anything or with too much. And if you got a thug with nothing and you give that thug something, guess what? You got a rich thug. But the same thing should be true with us. If you are a Christian and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and all your strength, and you have little, nothing changes that. I still love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, all of my strength. And if I have too much, I love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my mind and all of my strength. And the Lord governs me in how I use what I have. And that gets us to the next thing. Bam. All right. Yet it was good for you to share in my trouble. So Paul, now here's the thing. This thing about these guys knew the Apostle Paul. They saw the Apostle Paul treated like a criminal. He came to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He came to make sure that people knew the power that Jesus had brought through the death and resurrection. He went there for one reason, and that was to make disciples of Christ. And he was treated like a criminal. They put him in jail. First thing off, they put him in prison. And the people saw that, right? And they saw his dedication. They heard his message. They knew who Paul was. And they were glad to help Paul. And he was glad to have their help. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with me, with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, You sent me aid again and again when I was in need. We talked about that, right? So here's the thing. Here's what I want you to think about. When, you know, when we think about giving, right, we're looking, okay, we have more than we need. People talk about giving back, right? You give back because you got too much, okay? But that doesn't, by the way, the widow's mite applies, right? The people knew Paul. They knew his ministry. They knew what he was about. They didn't just give haphazardly. I think, and again, I don't think it maybe is here so much, but I think one of the problems with the big church, I mean, talk about church as the whole, is that Christians do not discriminate in how they give. You know, they'll see one charity as good as another charity and one cause as good as another cause. And that's not true. I should be measuring the cause based upon how God would see it. And these guys knew the Apostle Paul, and he was dedicated to the good news. He was dedicated to changing lives. He was dedicated to making sure people knew about Jesus. And so they saw that, and that what made Paul kind of the object of their charity. But the thing is, we don't give to people. Don't do it. People are bad, right? People might mess up. Biggest question people always ask me about, should I help the guy over here or the guy over there, And I say, no, whatever you do it before the Lord. This becomes very apparent in the next few verses, but you do it before the Lord. So when these people knew what Paul was about, when they gave something, they didn't give it, oh, Paul's a poor old guy. They said, this is an offering to the Lord. Right? This is an offering to the Lord. This is, to me, this is absolute basic finance. When you give something, you don't give it. And when if I help somebody, personally or whatever, I will usually tell them, this is not me to you. This is me to the Lord, right? And from the Lord to you. So now here it is. I'm giving to the Lord. The Lord, then gives it to you. You mess up. Not you wouldn't do that, I know. But you mess up, right? They mess up. Who they mess up with? The Lord. Not with me. Do I got any bad feelings? No, because I gave to the Lord. I didn't give. You see what I'm saying? I always want to put God in the center of everything in my life. And so when I see, when I have some compassionate action, it is to the Lord that I serve. It is to the Lord that I do it. Now, again, I see the need. I see, and by the way, how many needs are there? Thousands, millions. Well, there's billions of people, so billions, right? There's tons of need out there. When I see the need and I know that this is something that is for the Lord, in other words, this is something that I can do to the Lord, right? I give to the Lord. And then the Lord gives to them. That way, again, I am worshiping God. I am offering to God. Hopefully, they're receiving from God. But there's nothing between us, right? Then you don't owe me anything. You see what I'm saying? There's no obligation. There's no debt. There's nothing. It is, to the Lord, to them, right? God in the center. He says, not that I am looking for a gift. And again, Paul's, teaching them. So he says, I'm not trying to talk you into getting, I've ever been to a place where, you got a group of people praying and some guy, Lord, my car just broke down and, I pray that you send a mechanic to me, so that, you know what I'm saying? Paul's not doing that. Paul is trying to teach them. Paul is trying to show them, just action. And so he said, I am not talking about this so that you give me something, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. Literally, it means I'm. It's kind of in a legal sense. It's like I am trying to make sure that what you give is honoring Christ for your sake. for you. It's building up your heavenly account. God is taking note. God is building memorials for His people. God is ready to honor those who have honored Him through righteous giving. Okay? And that could be time, that could be energy, that, you know, does not have to be money, it, you know, in service to Christ, but it's just such a great thing. Paul is trying to say, as an apostle, one of the things that he wanted to see happen for his church was he wanted to see the church gain heavenly treasure, right? And when they were helping the apostles work, helping him to preach the gospel to make sure the next town got to hear, it was, you know, right? They're building up, and that's what he's saying. He said, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Now that's what we're looking for, right? A life that is, that, you know, when we do things, I mean, I try to tell people, you know, a lot of people don't understand, but especially, I mean, people in the church do. But people out there, they don't understand. When I tell them, you know, look, we mow the park because we want to share the gospel with the kids. We do that for the Lord. We're not, I don't, you know, the mayor's all right, but I don't do it for the mayor. Okay? I don't do it for their, I'm doing it for the cause of Christ. I'm doing it to honor God, right? I mean, I'm just saying. And when you do stuff, you do it to honor Christ. You do it to say, you know, Father, I want to offer this service to you. I want to offer this sacrifice to you. And it's either an acceptable, pleasing sacrifice or some leftover thing that you just kind of dumped over there, right? And what Paul is saying about this church in Philippi is, you guys laid out such a good gift that it is a pleasing, fragrant sacrifice that is acceptable to God. More, again, treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. So I told you this kind of goes, you know, like living. How do you live? Contentment in Christ. In Christ. It's Christ that makes, you know, when I'm small, doesn't matter. When I'm big, doesn't matter, because it's Christ that makes me who I am. When I'm trying to do good things, giving back. I just don't like the cliches. When I'm trying to do good things, I am not doing them to go on the television or in the newspaper or to have my picture somewhere or to get the applause. I am trying to honor and serve God. I am trying to just give some thanks to God and some offering to God in my service, in my giving, in my behaviors, right? I am trying to live a life that has God all wrapped around it. That it's Christ in me, it's the way, you know, so my actions, my giving, everything is about God, it's about Christ, it's about the kingdom of God, right? In that relationship, in that glorious and beautiful relationship, you can then listen to this verse. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, out of context, that says, oh, we get whatever we want. No, no. In the context, when your life is engaged with God, when your heart is engaged with God, where you're not seeking worldly treasure and you don't complain about what you don't have, but your sufficiency is, I am in Christ and Christ is in me, and I'm walking with God and I'm trying to serve God and I'm trying to glorify God, then I know that God sees me like He sees every sparrow, and He will take care of me like He takes care of every sparrow, because Jesus says, I'm worth more than a sparrow. Barely. No, you know, God is with His people. When we get out of step with any of this, we start to think it's about the stuff. We start to complain about the stuff. Right? We take God out of the giving picture. Then this text just does not apply. But when we're walking with God, when we're, you know, the things that Paul told us in this letter, you know, to live a life worthy of the gospel, to be like-minded with Christ, to, you know, become less for the sake of others, and all that he told us in this letter, when you have that life that's so wrapped in God and so filled with Christ, your Father knows you. He sees who you are. He will take care of you. He will watch over you. He will have your back. He will absolutely have your back. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to serve and honor and glorify our God. It is so good. Amen. Amen. It's time for our...